Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have been many things. I've been unfaithful. Anybody ever been unfaithful? Been unworthy? I've been unrighteous. I've been unmerciful. I've been unreachable. I've been unteachable. I've been unwilling. I've been undesirable. I've been unwise. I've been undone. I've been unsure. But I've never been unloved. Might have felt unloved. Anybody ever felt unloved? Sure we have, but we were never unloved. Because it's got nothing to do with how we feel. The truth is, and the reality, what this title of this new series is true love. True love. Who knows, many people out there today are looking for true love. Maybe you're in here today and you're still looking for true love. Maybe you thought you found your one true love and discovered that your one true love wasn't your one true love after all. I've been unbroken, I've been unmended, I've been uneasy, I've been unapproachable, I've been unemotional, I've been unexceptional, I've been undecided, unqualified, unaware, unfair, unfit, but I've never been unloved. May have felt unloved, but the reality and the truth is, we were never unloved. We'll get to that later. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but one of the most frustrating things in my life is when it appears that either my faith or other people's faith is not working. You ever had one of these cars, you know, you be out in the morning, you never know if it's going to work or not. You're never quite sure when you go out there, when you go in, you open the door, you sit in the seat, you take out your key, you insert it in the ignition, and you're wondering, is it going to work today or not? A lot of the time, folks, that's the way it can be with our faith. Never know if it's going to work. Many years ago, I remember the Lord gave me a troubleshooting guide that we could take out when things weren't working the way they should. And it went like this: where there is no love, there will be no faith. In other words, if there's no faith, back up a little bit, and love's the problem. Because where there is love, there will be faith. And if there's no power, then you need to back up a little bit, because where there's no power, because there's no faith, and there's no faith because there's no love. Amen. Let me just run through it. Where there's no love, there will be no faith. Where there's no faith, there will be no power. Where there's no power, there will be no light. Where there's no light, there will be no conviction. Where there's no conviction, there will be no repentance. Where there's no repentance, there will be no life. Where there's no life, there will be no reproduction. Where there's no reproduction, there will be no multiplication. Where there's no multiplication, there will be no growth. So if there's no growth, back up a little bit. What's wrong? Well, there's no multiplication. Why is that? Because there's no reproduction. Why is that? Because there's no life. Why is that? Because there's no repentance. Remember, was it Friday night we're speaking about repentance? And there's many things that we need to repent of. There's many things that we need to develop a hatred of. I mean, everybody knows what Mark hates. Because he says, he read it in the scripture, God hates divorce. He said, well, I'm going to hate what God hates. So he's got it on the front of his t-shirt. Now, whether you're wearing a t-shirt or not, there's things we need to develop in our lives that we have strong hatred of. I said on Friday night, I'm beginning to develop a hatred of poverty. I'm going to repent of poverty. Because it's not God's will. Who said that? It's all through His Word. It's not His will. It's not just divorce that God hates. God hates sickness. I need to repent of sickness. I need to repent for allowing that any place in my life, in my family's life, in my church life, community life, wherever that sickness is manifest. I need to develop a hatred for it, so I'll repent of it. Turn away from it. Refuse to accept it as part of my life anymore. Any kind of oppression. Where there's no repentance, there'll be no conviction. It's because there's no conviction. There's no conviction because there's no light. The entrance of God's Word brings light, and that's what brings the conviction. That, wait a minute, we've been putting up with stuff we shouldn't have been putting up with. I've been receiving stuff in my life I shouldn't be receiving in my life. I've been living under stuff that I'm supposed to be living over. There's no light because there's no power. There's no power because there's no faith. And there's no faith because there's no love. And I'm just going to look at the faith-love connection this morning, maybe for the next few weeks, 3 weeks, hallelujah. If your faith isn't working, have you ever discovered that their faith didn't work? Well, if your faith isn't working, you need to check out what's the matter with the love. There's a problem with love when your faith's not working. Now, Galatians chapter 5, As I said, when Janice sang that last song, you don't know how bang on you were with that song. Amen. Straight out of Galatians chapter 5. And the whole key to that song is responding to his love. But let's see what it says here in Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Something's telling me there's a profit in Christ. See, prosperity is not just about having money. Prosperity is whole life prosperity. Prosperity is coming into the fullness of the abundance of God has for our lives, whether that's physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. Financially, it's another aspect of that, but it's just one aspect of it. But people who stand against prosperity don't realize they're doing the devil's work. Because it's not just about, they focus in on money. They're more obsessed with money than the people they claim are preaching prosperity. That's the reality. What's the matter with these people? They need to repent. That's what's the matter. They need to repent. Glory to God. They haven't allowed the light of God's word to bring the conviction that God wants his people to prosper. I mean, the word of God puts prosperity alongside salvation as part of salvation. Save now, O Lord. Send now prosperity. That's what the word says. Well, I ain't going down that road this morning. Hallelujah. You have become estranged. Sorry, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, say, in Christ Jesus. You need to get that language down on the inside of you. In Christ Jesus. Where are you this morning? Are you in Christ Jesus or are you outside Christ Jesus? Because that makes all the difference in the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, in other words, every kind of religious mess you can put together, every kind of religious work, every kind of religious expression, every kind of religious ritual makes no difference anymore. It avails nothing. Doesn't avail anything. But faith working through love. In the Amplified Bible, I believe it says faith activated, energized, expressed, put to work through love. It's love that activates your faith. It's love that energizes your faith. It's love that causes your faith to find an expression and puts your faith to work. What does love does? If your faith's not working, it's because love, there's a problem with love somewhere. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if our faith isn't working this morning, it's because we haven't got enough revelation yet of how much God loves us. We've never been unloved. We've been all of the other uns. And this morning I'd like us to deal with all of the other uns and come into some of the uns of God. We need to make a transfer. We need to make an exchange. We need to move. Because repentance means moving from one place to another place. It begins in your mind. It's a change of mind before it's a change of anything else. It's a change of thinking before it ever results in a change of action. Some of you have been trying to repent by changing your actions. No, you've got to change how you think first, or you'll end up back there. Why? Because what you think becomes what you say, and what you say becomes what you do, your actions. So you can try and repent by changing your actions. How many times have you stopped this and stopped that and said, I'll never do it again? But it's because you didn't change how you think. Our thoughts need to line up with his thoughts. Otherwise, and if we don't know that God loves us, if we're not thinking all the time, I'm loved. I'm loved by God. That will affect every other area of our lives. It will cause us to go into all of the other runs that God came to redeem us, that Jesus came to redeem us from. To save us from. Hallelujah. You see, you need to understand the language here. For in Christ Jesus. When he looks at you, when God looks at you, when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus first, and then he sees you. The righteousness, we've been unrighteous, but the righteousness we now have, it's not our righteousness. It's not a righteousness that we've been able to attain to. It's not because we were able to get our lives together, clean them up, and get onto God's agenda. No, come on. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Where? In Him. In Christ Jesus. God looks at us. He doesn't see your unrighteousness anymore. He sees Jesus' righteousness, and He sees you as righteous as Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why you can have confidence today if you're in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Him, you better get in Him fast. He sees His beloved Son in whom He is always well pleased. Doesn't matter how many uns you think are in your life, He doesn't see the uns that you're focusing on, that you're struggling under, that you're battling to deal with and to cope with. He doesn't see any of these other uns. The only uns He sees are the God uns, and we're going to get them in a minute. He sees, He looks at you through Jesus, and He says, hey, you're in the front row. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. That's why he calls you a son. Amen. Hallelujah. You've got to catch this. You've got to get down inside. It makes all the difference in how your faith's going to work. If you've been struggling to get your faith to work, this is the key. This is the key. Did God always answer Jesus' prayers? When Jesus commanded a demon to come out of someone, did it come out? When Jesus laid hands on the sick, were they healed? Of course they were. This is the key. You need to understand, when you get this down on the inside, when you get this established, this one fact established on the inside of you, when you lay hands on the sick, you'll have no doubt in your mind whatsoever anymore that they will recover. You'll have no doubt whatsoever when you speak to a demon to leave someone, that demon will leave. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because you know that you're loved. When God looks at you, He says, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Who does He love this way? Well, according to John 3:16, He loves the whole world that way. And if you can believe it, you can receive it. According to John chapter 3. If you doubt it, you may have to do without it in your experience, but it doesn't alter the reality. It doesn't alter the truth. It doesn't alter the fact that God loves you. That He is your true love. The one true love you've been looking for. And every other love that you may experience in your life must come through that. Otherwise it will fail you. Otherwise it will fall short. Otherwise it will be unable to satisfy you. It will break. You see, believing that God loves you just as much as He loves Jesus, that's what puts your faith to work. The fact that He looks at you and sees Jesus. You've heard the phrase for years, haven't you? Love is blind. I want to tell you, when God looks at you, when the Heavenly Father looks at you, He sees Jesus, and His love is blind to all of the other uns that you've been messing with. All of these other nasty, horrible uns, the unfaithfulness, the unworthiness, the unrighteousness, the unmercifulness, the unreachableness, the unteachableness, the unwillingness, the undesirableness. Come on, ever felt undesirable? Well, let God deal with that mess this morning. You may have felt undesirable, but you've never been unloved. Ever felt unsure about anything? Ever felt undone? Unbroken, unmended, uneasy, unapproachable, unemotional, unexceptional? Ever felt unexceptional? Tell you, you might have felt unexceptional, but you were never unloved. Unqualified. Ever felt unqualified? Well, it doesn't matter what you felt. That can become a thing in the past. Glory to God. Because you were never unloved. And you're still not unloved. And you'll never be unloved. Unfair, unfit, all these different things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When God looks at you, He doesn't see all of these other uns. He sees Jesus. He doesn't just see Jesus. He sees Jesus, then He sees you. It's not that He's ignoring you. He just said, oh, well, I'll just... No, but love is blind to all of the other uns, to all of the failures, to all of the shortcomings. He's blind. You say, oh, not about that. What about the Old Testament? There's not, and people will say, there's not an old, and it's true, there's not an old covenant God, and there's not a new covenant God. There's only one God, but there are two covenants. And I'm very glad for that. If you're not grateful enough for that, yeah, you need to get more grateful for it. When you were taking that bread and that cup, you needed to be saying, thank you, Jesus, for this new covenant. That I'm not under the law anymore. That I'm not under that law anymore. That you don't see me anymore. You see Jesus. You see me through Him. You see me clothed with His righteousness. You see me. Every time you look at me, it's the same as when you looked at your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. There's two covenants. The new covenant has been established upon better promises. Are you glad for that? Amen. Amen. When God says better, I'm telling you, man, when God improves something, it's not like one of these things, you don't see the new improved, you know. You think, but that doesn't seem any different. In fact, sometimes I think it's worse. When God improves something, when God says something's better, it's better, way, way better. So when faith isn't working like it should, we need to back up to the problem. We need to back up and recognize we have a faulty understanding of love, of God's love for us. See, the Bible says this. It says we love Him because He first loved us. Every manifestation of love or action of love in our lives towards God is simply a response to His love for us. Jesus put it this way. Remember, He said, those who are forgiven much or who have a revelation of how much they're forgiven, they love much. So our response to God's love, by loving Him, is His love always comes first. And the more understanding we get of His love for us, the more and the better equipped we will be to love Him. To love Him back. Hallelujah. So we've been all of these uns, haven't we? Unfaithful, unworthy, unrighteous, unmerciful, unreachable, unteachable, unwilling, undesirable, unwise, undone, unbroken. We could spend weeks on every one of these, couldn't we? Some of you, man, and some of us here this morning, we've been struggling and with major hurt, with major emotional baggage because of some of these uns. We've struggled and fought and tried to be the best at everything. Why? Because we've always felt unexceptional. We've walked over other people and tried to push other people out of the way and lied about other people to try and make ourselves look that little bit better. All the time because we didn't know that we were loved. We thought we'd have to become exceptional before we would be loved. We thought we'd have to excel before we would be loved. We thought we'd have to become desirable. We thought we'd have to tar ourselves up and slim ourselves down and make ourselves up and dress ourselves up and do all these things before we become desirable, because we didn't know that it doesn't matter how undesirable other people might think, you're always loved. We thought we had to become desirable before we'd be loved. No, we were loved all along. Unqualified. I tell you, I've seen it with people, particularly people who come from poor countries. They think you can never get enough qualifications. They're always studying something. They're always adding another degree. Some of them get more degrees than a thermometer, and they're still adding another one. Because they think that they can become qualified, that it'll change everything. That's a deep soul, emotional problem that can never be resolved by any more degrees or more studying. Doesn't matter how unqualified you might feel. Getting more qualified will never make you more loved. God's love is a constant, unchanging reality in our lives. We'll get to that in a minute. The tragedy is that we lost touch with that reality. We lost touch with that truth. We were disconnected from true love because sin broke that connection. But Jesus said, I've come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, the disconnected. Those who have lost love. See, brokenhearted people are those who've lost love. Amen. They've been disconnected from love, and that's why they have a broken heart. We were born with a broken heart. We were born in sin. We were born disconnected from true love. The true love, we were always supposed to walk in the fullness of that experience of true love, and we lost touch with it. We've been broken off from it. But Jesus came to heal that. He came to heal all of the uns in our lives, all of the negative uns, to deliver us from the guilt and the shame and the reproach of all of these uns. So how does He deliver us? Well, it's very simple, by the power of His love. The most powerful force in the universe. The only thing, Scripture says, that never fails. See, when we embrace His love, you need to hear this, folks. When we embrace His love, just receive His love. It's nothing you have to do. Just believe that it's there for you. That it's always been there for you. When we embrace that love, when we receive that love, our days of failure are over. Oh, yes, we'll try harder. We'll strive harder. Yeah, I'll never be a failure again. Oh, God. No, I want to tell you, even if you fail a test, He still marks it as 100%. You see, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness so that we could be led out of the wilderness. Not so we could follow Him in, not so we could come out. He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He passed the test. So every time, even when you fail, God looks at the exam paper and stamps it 100%. Pass. If you're in Christ, if you know what that means, if you understand that He placed you in Christ so that His love could be there in you, for you all the time, constant, consistent, unchanging. Even when you fail all of the other uns, no. That's the answer to it all. That's what turns all everything else around. Jesus said, He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, give good things to those who ask Him? I remember Ruth when she was sitting at Hires And Ruth had got straight A's all the way through in admin. That was her best subject, admin. She got straight A's. She even picked up the prize at the Nichols Institute. We knew our seat was booked after Sarah left. We thought, wonder if we'll still get to go to the prize giving, because Sarah always picked up a few prizes. We thought, well, I wonder if we'll get to go to the prize giving now. And Ruth, she just, every time she sat at, every year she picked up the admin prize. So we got to go to the prize giving. Hallelujah. Every year in the Nichols Institute, she picked up the admin prize. She got straight A's in all of her exams in admin. She sat her higher, and she got a C. Man, I was stirred up. And nobody got any. And I said, they've obviously got the wrong paper. Man, I was stirred. Amen. Word of God. I think the teacher's put in an appeal, still didn't get it. I mean, I thought, man, this is unjust. There's another run for you. See, that was my love. I thought, wait a minute, that should be stamped 100%. Amen. Glory to God. If I get that kind of stirred, the Bible says there's still elements of evil working in my life. I'm still a little bit twisted. I'm still a little bit out of sync. I'm still not there yet. But God, if that's the way I think, how much more does He think? When someone labels us with failure, labels us as anything below 100%. Come on. You need to understand. Let's get a grip on this morning. It'll change our lives. It'll change everything about how we live. Because we live by faith, but our faith only works when we have the revelation of His love for us. So in this three-part series, we're going to look at God's love for us, God's love in us, and God's love through us. And this, in part one, this is the foundation, God's love for us. See, love is the foundation upon which Jesus is building His church. You don't understand that. Not law, love. And love is the law, if you like. If you can't deal with law being out of your vocabulary completely, love is the law upon which Jesus is building His church. True love. True love. So I want us to look this morning at three God uns concerning the love of God that will heal us, I believe, of all of the negative uns in our lives. You ready for this? Number one, God's love for us is unconditional. Amen. Now, we struggle because in English we just use one word, love, to cover every kind of love, but we know that in New Testament Greek, in which the New Testament was originally written, that there were at least four different Greek words for love. And the word that's used for God's love is a word that was basically only ever used in that context. That's the Greek word, of course, agape. Agapao. It's a love that always, listen to this, it's a love that always, say always. That means it's always. That means there's never a time or when it's not working this way. When it isn't this way. Love that always seeks the highest good of the other person. Always seeks the high, 100%. No matter what he does. That's God's love for us. It's the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return. Jesus said it this way. He said, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends, which is what he did. It's the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return. It's love by choice. It's love as an act of the will. It's not an emotional response. It's love as an act of the will. Hallelujah. God's will is revealed to us in Jesus. The perfect demonstration of love. Love walked around for 3.5 years, healing the sick, restoring the poor, delivering the oppressed. Come on. Standing against religion in every shape and form that he encountered it. Hallelujah. Seeking to restore people back to an understanding of his love for them. See, God's love for us, let's say it. God's love for me is unconditional. Come on. God's love for me is unconditional. That means there's nothing I can do to make him love me more. There's nothing you can do that will make him love you any more than he already does. If that doesn't set you free, nothing will. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. And there's nothing that we could do, and this may blow your little religious mind out the water. Well, let it. It's about time. And there's nothing that we could do that would make him love us any less. Because his love for us is unconditional. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing you've ever done that made him love you any less. And there's nothing that you've ever done that made him love you any more. There's nothing you could do that could make him love you any more or love you any less than he already does. If that doesn't change your life, nothing will. If that revelation, that one single revelation doesn't change your life, then nothing else will. He loves us for one simple reason. Because he's chosen to love us. And when God makes a choice, he never changes his mind. God's never going to change his mind about us. I tell you, there's people out there today scraping through life trying to make sense. Even and I remember a song Chris Christopherson wrote years ago. Man, I could identify with it at one point in time in my life. Sunday morning coming down. There's nothing like a Sunday to make a body feel alone. Amen. There was something about Sunday, you know. Certainly around here anyway, when you wake up on Sunday morning and with one of them awful hangovers, you reach out for something that might be able to try and stall the pain for a little while. But there was, on a Sunday, it was different. Like, when you woke up on Saturday morning, it wasn't the same. But Sunday morning, there was just something about Sunday. You went on about talking about putting on your cleanest dirty shirt and getting out there, back out on the street, and you smell someone frying chicken through the window, and all of a sudden you're alone. There's something about a Sunday makes a body feel alone. Why? Because you know you're not where you're supposed to be. You know you're out of sync with God's plan and purpose for your life. There's some people even come and sit in church and still they haven't made sense of it because they don't realize that there's something on the inside of them that's crying out for true love. And it can only be found in accepting and receiving the revelation that God loves them unconditionally. And they'll say, well, I'm trying to clean my life up. Well, maybe I'm trying to sort some things out. And you can never do it. You'll never do it. Whatever you do will never make God love you more than he loves you right now. And until you accept that and realize that, and when you realize that, it'll change your life. I'll tell you, you will be very different. You will be totally different. Your life will be completely transformed by the revelation of that love. But you cannot begin that transformation process until you simply receive the reality of what already exists. Amen. I mean, all these people that try and deny God's existence, I mean, they're crazy. Absolutely crazy. Everywhere you look, you see God. You see His handiwork. Amen? And you need to understand, you go back to Genesis, try to make sense of that, and you understand that God created all that because He was going to place the object of His love in the center of it and give Him dominion over it. He created it in all of its perfection. Everything He created, He said, it's good, it's good. Can you imagine the excitement that was building in them? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever done something for your children? Prepare something, buy them some presents, something, you're wrapping them, you think this is good. Can't wait till they get the wrapper off this and see it. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. If it hasn't been in you, then we've missed something of the heart of God. We need to get it back. That's the way God... You can imagine Him saying, can't wait till I get that guy. I'm going to get some of that dirt, rub it up, glory to God, shape it into something. I'm going to breathe life into it. That guy's going to come alive and... Woo! Think, wow, look at this. Is this all for me? Yeah, it's all for you. And He said, it's not good for a man. He said, oh, I missed something. It's not good for this guy to be alone. I'm going to... And so he knocks him out. Glory to God, gives him a bit of Holy Ghost anesthetic. Amen. Grabs one of his ribs out of there, bless God, turns it into a woman, opens his eyes, he goes, whoa, this is good! Woo! Bet she never felt undesirable. Not that day, anyhow. She knew she was desired. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God did it because He loved. Hallelujah. He said, there's something good that's missing. That's what He said. It's not good for Him to be alone. There's something good that's missing. I need to create something good, better for Him. Come on. If I don't help you treat your wife or your husband better, I don't know what will. You may not think they're good, but God does. And God gave them to you because He knew there was something missing in your life. He said, now you take that. You look after that. He said, you cherish that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't ever let them feel they're unloved, because I gave them to you as a gift of my love. And when you recognize that, when you receive that revelation, that understanding, they will never feel unloved by you again. And even if you walk away and desert them, they're still loved by me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe someone walked away from you. Maybe someone deserted you. And maybe you start all of the undesirables. All of the other things begin to plague your mind. Well, that's why you need to come back to this. Because God says, in all of these things that you felt, you were never unloved. You were never unloved. If that person is not expressing the love that I placed in them for you, then that's because they've walked away from the revelation of my love for them. Because before you ever do anything against somebody else, it's because you got out of touch with God first. You need to understand that. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord. First of all, the first thing you must do is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's just responding to His love, because He's loved you with all of His heart, soul, mind, and strength. He put everything that He had into that first creation, and it wasn't like it wasn't good enough. Then he didn't put everything, but the second time He put everything that He had, the thing that was most precious to Him in all. I don't even know how you can explain God in that aspect, in that respect. But He was willing to sacrifice heaven's best for us to demonstrate His love. That's what the Bible says. He demonstrated His love for us when Jesus went to the cross. Hallelujah. So that we would know we've never been unloved. Never. God's love is unconditional. You can try and figure that out, or you can just receive it. And you can let it activate and energize and put your faith to work. Second thing, God's love for us is unbiased. See, God's love for me is unbiased. He won't love you anymore when you become more holy, or when you become more godly, or when you become more righteous, or when you become like sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so, or whatever, but come on. He won't love you anymore because you became more obedient, or anything else. And I want to tell you, even if you have no immediate plans in your life right now to become any of these things, He'll still love you. Even if you're the most rebellious, disobedient person in the church, He loves you just as much as He does the person who's walking it out. Because that's the nature of His love. And if you're a parent, and you need to, and I will say this, but I determined in my life, I will never have favorites amongst my children. Doesn't matter how they perform or anything else, glory to God. Because I know that's the heart of God. His love for us is unbiased. It's not based on our performance. It's based simply on His love for us. On His decision to love us regardless. Because God is love. And He's chosen to love us. Just as we are. He demonstrated that love, as I said, when we were at our very worst. That's what it says. And in fact, if you want to go to Romans chapter 5, if you want to read it for yourself. Romans chapter 5, and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. God what? God demonstrates. God doesn't just speak and do nothing. Some of these people you thought were your true love, all they brought you was the words. The next thing, the actions were all over the place. They were pretty short in demonstrations. They could talk all right, but when it came to demonstration, well, they failed miserably. Didn't come up to that. Come on. The advertising was better than the reality. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners. Now, some of you in here today, and we're not going to have a competition, but some of us were pretty good at sinning. Pretty bad, really. Some of us plumbed some of the depths of sin just as deep as we could get. And it was at that point, I don't want you to put up the video screen and start replaying all of that junk, but I'll tell you, it was at the point when you were doing the very worst thing that you ever did that God demonstrated His love for you. Not when you cleaned up your act. Not when you'd got it together. Not when you were having a sober moment. Not when you were on the wagon in one of your 2 week on the wagon jobs. You know what I'm saying? Before you fell off again on the other side, 10 times worse than you were before you got on it. Make it up for lost time. No. At that point, He loved you. At that point, He demonstrated His love for you. I can only say these things because I was there. I've been there. I've been all of the uns. Some of that stuff still trying to work its ugly mess in my soul. And every time I allow it, every time I step out, you have to leave God first. Because it's only when you begin to learn to respond to God's love for you and all of His heart, all of His soul, all of His mind, all of His strength, then it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I've struggled with some of that language for over the years, because people say, well, you've got to learn to love yourself first before you can love anybody else. And you think, well, I see a lot of people and I think they already love themselves. You probably said it maybe. Look at that. That person loves himself. And it's not always a positive thing you're saying. You know what I mean? But I believe what we really need to get a grip on is we need to get a grip on the reality that we need to love the me that God loves. I need to love the me that God sees. Amen. And then love that other person the way God sees them. Exactly the same way as He sees me. Now He loves them exactly the same way as He loves me. Amen. Glory to God. God demonstrated His love. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, say, God is for us. Let's make it more personal. God is for me. Who can be against me? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Come on. If you ever have another doubt about God's love for you, just look at the cross. That's all you need to do. There's His demonstration of how much He loves us. And He went there when we were still sinners, the people who put him on the cross, the people who engineered his crucifixion. He's on the cross and he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them. Why? Because he came to heal the brokenness that was in these lives that caused them to do such a thing. All of the uns, oh, they pretended to be so righteous, they pretended to be so holy, they pretended to be so powerful. But underneath all of that stuff, all of these uns were working. And he had come and exposed all of their uns. Because although they claimed to be God's men, they were unable to do what God's men do. What the man of God does. When he's operating according to the only power that God ever works by, and that's by love. And he exposed all of their uns, and instead of allowing their uns to be healed, they decided they would get rid of the one that was exposing them. Isn't that the way we do it sometimes? Amen? Husbands dump wives and wives dump husbands as if they were the problem. It wasn't the wife that you left that was the problem, or the husband that you left was the problem. You were the problem. Deal with your problems, you'll never leave anybody again. And you see it because as soon as they leave, they end up in more problems. Does that not tell somebody something? Do they not wake up? You left what you thought was a problem and you ended up with 100 more problems. Maybe you need to wake up to reality. You are the problem. Deal with the problem. What's the problem? Somewhere in there, you think you're unloved. No, you're not. You're loved. And if you'll let that love and respond to that love and let that love, the power of that love manifest in you and through you, and we'll get to that later on over the next couple of weeks, then you'll discover that that love working in you can change anything. And it can turn any situation around. Because it never fails. Hallelujah. God is love. He's chosen to love us as we are. He demonstrates that love when we were at our worst, not at our best. You need to hear that. God demonstrated his love for us when we were at our worst, not when we were at our best. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes we wanted our wives to treat us good. We would try to be as good as we could, you know, for at least 2 days, and then hopefully she's going to smile on us and grant us some favors. You know what I'm saying? That's not how God does it. That's how that love does that fall short. I said to my wife yesterday, do you love me unconditionally? She said yes, and then she brought a couple of conditions. I said, so what if I mess up really bad? Will you still love me? I said, this is hypothetical, by the way. This is not a prelude to some confession, all right? So I said, so if I mess up, will you still love me? Because I want to know, do you love me unconditionally? I won't give you any more of that account, anyway. I need to get, because I had to, before I asked her, I said, Lord, do I love my wife unconditionally? If she messes up real bad, am I going to keep on loving her? I had to say, yes, I must. Or I'm going to have to step out of God first. I'm going to have to leave God first before I can ever leave her. Is that what I'm talking about? You have to leave God first. And that's why we have to come back to God first. Amen? Before everything else is resolved. We come back and experience his love and receive his love and just stay there for a little while. Just say, oh God, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved. And the more that you can fill up on the revelation that you're loved, the more your faith will work and the more your love will begin to manifest towards other people. Hallelujah. Amen. Third thing. First thing is God's love is unconditional. The second thing is God's love is unbiased. The third thing, final thing, God's love for us is unchanging. Say unchanging. God's love for me is unchanging. But what can change and what must change is our ability to receive his love. And all we have to do, this is, I know, see, most things are so simple. Most things in the kingdom of God are so simple that people reject them as being foolish. I've had people say that to me over the years, oh, man, that's just foolishness. Because they think you're unqualified. He said, God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. If we will just simply open our hearts to him, that's all you have to do. And that, you think, well, that can be the hardest. Because some folks, maybe some of you are here today, and you've never really opened your heart that wide to anybody. Because all of the uns have been working in your life. You thought, if I open myself up too much, they'll find some of my uns in there, and then they won't love me anymore. God knows all about our uns, all our negative uns. He knows every one of them, and He still loves us. We've never been in love with all of these negative uns in our lives. He's never stopped loving us completely. He says, I was there even when you were being formed in your mother's womb. I was there. I had plans for your life. And if we'll just open up our hearts and we'll begin to receive more of His love than we've ever experienced before. And as His love comes, it will begin to sweep away all of the uns, all of the hindrances, all of the obstacles, all of these nasty negative things. We'll begin to get the revelation that, wait a minute, I'm His beloved son. He really does love me. He's really pleased with me. So I remember, I'm not trying to dishonor my father in any way. I believe that he carried on to his generation what he had been raised in himself. But I think he would say, wash the car. And we'd go out and we'd wash the car. And we'd spend, we were kids, come on. You know, kids, you know, these sponges, like these wee kids in that video with splatteries or, you know. But he wanted to wash the car. But then he would come out and he would look and he'd say, oh, look at that. Missed it. And he'd get the, and he'd start doing all the bits we missed. And so you went away thinking, I'm rubbish at that. Remember the guy, the author of The Shack, remember? Remember in his testimony how he said that he the confusion in his mind between an observation and a value statement. His wife would say something, she was just making an observation, but he received it as a value statement. I don't know, but yeah, that still works in me sometimes, you know. My wife makes observations, and she, when we were away a couple of, she said something, and I just received it as a value statement, and I was like, I was, ugh. You know. But the only reason that can happen is because there's something in there that still thinks we're unloved, that still thinks our love, that God's love for us is based on our performance. My father would come out and he'd go, oh, look at that. And then you'd go away thinking, man, rubbish at washing cars, man. He obviously was raised in that kind of environment himself. But that puts something in me. Now, that establishes something in me. If you want something done properly, you better do it yourself. And that can be a major hindrance in life. Because God created us not to do everything ourselves, but to be part of a community of faith. Where each one does his part. Where each one's gift is allowed to express itself. And come on. So much that we need to get delivered from. They're just simply doing what that we sang in that last song, responding to His love. Responding to His love. The other song we sang that He is and He was it. You said you liked that line. Do you remember it? You were, you are, you will always be. It's that response to the great I am, His declaration of I am. You say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. He's the great I am. He's declared Himself to be everything that we will ever need Him to be the perfect provider, the ultimate security. Amen. That's what a woman looks for from a husband, is a provider and someone who brings them security, makes them feel secure. We are the bride of Christ, and that's what we're looking to our husband for Him to provide for us, and He's already proved and declared Himself to be. I am, I will be everything you ever need me to be whenever you need me to be it, because I love you completely. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My love for you is unconditional. It's not based on your performance. It's unbiased and it's unchanging. It'll never change. You just need to trust me. Just believe. Those who come to God must believe that He is. Yes, I must come to God and say, yes, you are. My provider, my healer, my deliverer, my righteousness, everything. I failed again, I blew it again. He said, never mind, bring me that test paper. 100%. A plus. Plus, 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 plus. Hallelujah. Kurava shakavasundai. Need to finish this up. God's love comes to set us free from how we see ourselves. Can you receive that this morning? God's love comes to set us free from how we see ourselves with all of our uns, to to set us free from our small mindedness, our lack of vision when we think about ourselves. I can never do that. I'm unqualified. No, I can do it through the power of His love. He doesn't see me unqualified. He sees me as more than qualified. Amen. I'm undesirable. I'll never find a husband or a wife. I'm just undesirable. No, you're not. Start to think of yourself the way the Father thinks about you. And you'll start to attract people to you. They'll be knocking down your door. They'll be fighting over you. And you'll have an opportunity to say, God, which is the right one? And you can do a few little tests of your own just to discover you get the right one. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you begin to think of yourself the way He thinks about you. His love comes to set us free from rejection. The spirit of rejection. You need to understand. You see, if you have that in you, you know what it does? It causes other people to reject you. It makes you always try to get people, you're trying to do everything to make people accept you, but it's a spirit of rejection that's working in you. And what it does is, you're trying so hard to get people to accept you, they reject you. God's love comes to set us free from that. Hallelujah. Jesus. He comes to set us free from shame, from guilt, from zero self-esteem. Comes to set us free from depression, from despair, from hopelessness, from the effects of abuse, from the effects of self-harming. Comes to set us free from all of these things. What does God's love do? That's a major thing now with young people harming, cutting themselves, trying to get to the pain. You'll never get to the pain. Only God's love can heal the pain. It starts from the inside. You can't cut down in there, try and get to it from the outside. It comes from the inside. When you just open up your heart and receive His love, and all of a sudden He comes and even heals all the scars from all the every time you try to reach that pain. Hallelujah. Every time you look at that scar, it's a reminder of, God loves me, I'm loved. Don't ever have to do that again. That's why you need to look at the cross. Because there's nothing you can do that can make Him love you more. Nothing you can do to make Him love you less. Because the cross is the beacon of hope that's out there just going flashing at you all the time. I love you. This is how much I love you. Unconditionally. It's unbiased. It's unchanging. His plans for us are always for good. Never for evil, according to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Always to prosper us, always to give us a hope for the future. According to Paul's letter to Timothy, His perfect love drives out every fear and removes every hindrance to faith's effectiveness. Can you receive it this morning that you are the beloved? Say, I am the beloved. Say it again, just, I am the beloved. Let me read you two scriptures and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, that's you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. We sang it when we were kids, didn't we? Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It's so high. You can't get over it so low. You can't get under it so wide. You can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. We walked out the door and we forgot that. You sing that in church now, people, that's a stupid Sunday school song. Come on. He says, Paul said, I'm praying for you that you'll get that revelation. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. How can you know something that passes knowledge? Well, glory to God, only in the Spirit. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What God is? Love. When you're filled with the fullness of God, you're full of love. Now to Him who is able to, you didn't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, by the way. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If this doesn't deal with your hands, nothing will. According to the power, what power? The power that works in us. What is that power? The power of His love. I thought it was faith. No, no, no. Love energizes, activates, puts your faith to work. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Come on, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. I'll tell you, glory about Shakabah. If we can just open our hearts this morning. One more scripture and then we're done. Hallelujah. I just want to bring it from the Word before we conclude. Because you think this guy's just lost the plot and he's given us all that lovey-dovey. I've heard people say to me, we don't need any more of that lovey-dovey stuff. And I said, well, if anybody needs it, brother, you need it. Man, it didn't take me long to figure that out. Hallelujah. That's a very strong insult against God, by the way. God demonstrated His love for us in the most incredible way. And to say, I don't need any more of that lovey-dovey stuff. Man, you have lost the plot big time. Man, you're way beyond a Pharisee. Way beyond. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed. This is the key. All you have to do is believe. Like, are you struggling to believe it? Well, just deal with your struggles. Just keep saying it. The more you say it, the more you'll believe it, because faith comes by hearing. If you will just, in the midst of it all, in the midst of all of the uns and all of the flashing uns coming up against you, because that old enemy comes to steal that word out of your heart as soon as it's preached, but all, and all the flashing uns, and this unmerciful, undesirable, unqualified, unmerciful, just say it. I'm loved. I'm loved. I've never been unloved. I'm loved. God loves me. Glory! Somebody looks at you funny and go, hey, how you doing? God loves me. Hallelujah. He loves you too, but anyway, He loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. That person walks in your life and says, I don't love you anymore. So, yeah, that can't be right. What do you mean? Because well, God loves me. You must love me too. You know what love is. Amen. Hallelujah. Known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. If that's not the type of package the post office can put together, I don't know what. Hallelujah. Amen. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. Is it going down in there this morning? Well, let's have a moment of response here. Is there anybody here today and you're willing to say, well, there's been times in my life, and maybe right now I'm at that point where I don't feel loved. I've got my hand up. It's not as an example. I'm just saying. Because if we don't get honest, folks, this stuff doesn't work from the outside in. It works from the inside out. Amen. If we don't get honest, if we've known and believed the love that God has for us, this changes everything. This is what is going to cause our faith to start working. Hallelujah. If we can just receive it, begin to see ourselves as He sees us. Begin to love ourselves as He loves us. To believe that He loves me. Now that's the point where we need to come at. He loves me, I can love me. I can love me the way I am, and even if this is the starting point, and change needs to come, but this will be the starting point of the change. Because He's not going to love me more because I changed. He's going to change me because He loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. And love is the instrument He uses to change us. Glory to God. He doesn't sneak up behind us in with a big stick and say, God, you know, you wee crater, now you believe that I love you, I'm going to whip you. Not at all. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right, can we just do the video? We won't do that, so we'll play the video clip again. The same video we played at the beginning. So as we play this right now, I'd like us to respond to this as we play this and allow all the uns that you see up there. All the things that we've been these things, haven't we? Maybe some of us, and I know there's some of these uns still working in me. I want to get free from that junk. And I recognize today the only way that I can do that is to believe the love that God has for me. And it's the same for you. The only way we can get free is to believe the love that God has. He loves us simply because He loves us. And He's not going to change His mind. Amen. His love is unconditional, it's unbiased, and it's unchanging. That's the love that He has for us. That's the foundation for everything else that God desires to do in our lives, the plans that He has for us. Amen. Let's run now through glory.